We've been talking about on Wednesday night a little bit about the heart of the servant. And we talked, you know, how Jesus said to take, he said, you'll take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Matthew 11:29. We looked at Matthew 20:27, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. And 28 says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom for many. And we've been talking about that heart, and we'd gone back earlier that Jesus said, I can of mine own self do nothing. It's impossible that of his own power and of his own strength, he could do anything. He said, I only do those things that I see and hear what my Father does. Hallelujah. He said, my sole purpose and my will is to obey the will of my Father. Hallelujah. And sometimes that's one of the hardest things I think that we face is giving our will over to the Father. Jesus didn't find it, you know, I know when he got ready to go to the cross, he didn't find it easy. The Bible said he sweat drops of blood. And that is just amazing. He knew he was going to be separated from his Father. He's going to become sin. He knew that, but he said, I want to become. He became obedient. Remember, we looked in Philippians chapter 2. Let's go there for a minute. Philippians 2. Because we're kind of seeing the heart of the servant is, you know, and really the heart of a disciple. You know, a lot of people want to be followers of Jesus, you know, and they want to be called a disciple, but if they offer them a $10,000 raise in a city, you know, 300, 500 miles away, they'll leave everything that they have and, you know, and let's go, you know, let's go. I get better benefits. I got more money. And they hadn't even prayed and asked the Lord. I'm not saying it couldn't be him, but many times the enemy comes, you know, and he'll set you up somewhere. If he sent you here and he sent you to this church, then you should come here. Amen. Now, if he sent you somewhere else, that's okay. We want you to be where God wants you to be. That's the most important thing to me, that you find that place with him. You know, and that's the whole point, that we're given our lives and our challenges is to, you know, to do that. Philippians 2 says this. Let's start at verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And when we humble ourselves, and we take on that form of a servant, even as Jesus did, we become his bond slave, the Bible says, really. We take on that place. It's a willing thing that we have to do. And so our will has to be involved. I know in the Old Testament, they would take the servants. Many times they would work and they're free. They could leave if they want to, but if they've got a good master, I would like to stay on with you, master. You know, I would like to serve you. And they would take their ear and they would put that, you know, like an awl, a pick, you know, and we might say, and stick it through their ear, you know. They put it up against the doorpost and put it right through there. Ah, you know, and so they would know they were marked. Their ear was to listen to that man, to this master. He's who I have chosen, and we've chosen Jesus, and he is our master. Not that we have to just do it, but we willingly. The bond slave is someone that willingly lays down their life. Okay, we've been looking at all these things, I know. We saw how, you know, even in the Beatitudes, Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. You know, it's not those that are haughty and high-minded and think they have it all. Amen. It's those that humble themselves, as Jesus humbled himself, left all of heaven. Glory to God. So, I want to go to Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. And keep on going here, because Jesus had that heart of a servant. We saw that, and he began to teach his disciples the same things that we can learn of him. He said, "I am meek and lowly in heart." Matthew 11:29. He says, "I am meek and lowly of heart." He said, "Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. You shall find rest." We can listen to his teaching and see his desire for us to have the same heart and motive that he had, to humble ourselves and to be that servant. Yes, Lord. I mean, what did Eli say to Samuel when he finally, you know, remember Samuel? Samuel was Hannah's son, and she dedicated him. I mean, I think it was 3 years old, or as soon as he was done drinking milk from the breast, he was with Eli. He's in the temple. They're training him. He's already being trained. And by the time he was 8 years old, here comes the voice of the Lord. Eli, you know, and he didn't recognize it right away. So he runs over. He thought Eli was calling him. And, you know, so, but Eli was kind of backslidden. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't living all the part that he knew he should. And he was deaf. And how many know sometimes when we get lazy and slothful, we don't hear as well as we should. Amen. Or we skip church for, you know, 6 weeks in a row. You know, or maybe you just come once in a while, you know, and you say, "Well, I want to be that disciple of God. I love God with all my heart." I know you do. He wants you to show him. He wants us to say, "Okay, can I be faithful?" It may be the first step for some people is come faithful to church. Well, the doors are open. Am I there? No, I'm not. And I'm not saying if you have to work or you can't be there, that's fine. I mean, I had a call today. I mean, I know people are faithful, but if you make a phone call and let us know, I can't be there. Or if you have a responsibility, I can't be there. You know, something's happened or you're not. God forbid, I hope you come to church if you're sick and get well, right? But if you're not well, you know, maybe you just had a, you know, you just had 6 nights in a row where you were up with a, for some reason, you know, something in your family or whatever, and you just wore out. Okay, fine. But, you know, let's be faithful. Let's take our responsibility serious. Say, "I can't be there." You know, not that you have to tell me, you know, if you don't have that, but. You know, and so that's what I want us to see, is that we're learning of him. We take his yoke. His meekness, his gentleness is available unto us. He said, "My yoke is easy. My burden is light." It's not something that has to be difficult. Even in John, you know, 1 John, he said that, you know, it wasn't burdensome to people to keep the commandments. He said, "Those that love him keep my commandments," and it's not burdensome to us. It's not a hard thing for us because we love him, because we've chosen him, because we've desired that he would be our master, that Jesus would be our king, and we've surrendered our will over to the will of the master. Hallelujah. Yes, we've received his life. Yes, we've received his nature. But how many know that we still have flesh that we deal with every day? And the challenge is to get a hold of ourselves, our own flesh, and to get a hold of God. Amen? And surrender that to him. And one of the greatest ways that we do that is we decide, say, "Okay, I'm going to live a life surrendered to God." We really want that. And I know the people, all you that are here, you really want that. You wouldn't be here. So I want to be surrendered to the Lord. You know? And so we have to give ourselves to praying in the Holy Ghost, serving God, being faithful, and letting him begin to change us. You say, "Well, I don't know if all the traits I need are in me right now." That's okay. It's okay. You may not have everything you need. They're in there, but they may not be very developed. You say, "Well, I don't know if I'm faithful. I don't know if I can be committed. I don't know any of those things. I don't have any education," or whatever the reason may be. We can keep praying in the Holy Spirit and He will train us. He will begin to teach us. Just by merit of praying that perfect mind out and begin to be strengthened in our inner man, it will begin to teach us. It'll begin to teach us to be faithful. It'll begin to teach us to be on time. It'll begin to teach us. You know, I know one person, they didn't graduate from Bible school because they were not on time. Great guy. Great guy. But he had one more chance. And there's just a few days left. And did everything. I remember they did everything in their power to try to help him. Now you can make it. But yet he was 2 minutes late one more time. I said, I'm sorry. They had to tell him, I'm sorry, you don't graduate. I mean, his family even called to the school. Why didn't you graduate him? He's a great guy. We love him. He's a wonderful guy. He just can't get here on time. Everybody says, well, is it really that important? Well, I mean, he's had like 15 chances. You know, I mean, this is not like one chance. Okay. It was almost over right at the end. Just one more week, you can make it. And it's a shame. It's a shame, but he missed it. He didn't make it through, and they didn't graduate him. They wouldn't do it. He said, no, I'm sorry. That's one of our requirements. It's just that's not something, you know, I don't know how important that is, but it was important because it shows your character and your commitment. And God wants us to say, hey, I'm faithful. I'm going to be faithful. Okay, Matthew 22:37 is what I was going to read. It says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And this is the great commandment, of course, to love God. A lot of times we say we love God, but then what do our actions show? Okay? So we're making that decision. We're the challenge for us is to spend that time with the Lord to say, all right, Lord, I'm going to pray. I really want to give my life over to you. I really want your plan because I know that God's plan is perfect, good, pleasing. It is the perfect plan of God. It is good, perfect, and pleasing to me. I know that He knows what's best for me. He knows better for me than Doug knows for me. Doug would like to be a great evangelist. He would like to travel the world and see all those thousands and tens of thousands of people standing in the field and preach that gospel, which may happen someday. I don't know. I may get a chance to go a couple times. But, you know, to see that and, you know, well, why was that such a great thing? Because that's what I saw. You see, sometimes what we see is not what God wants. His plan isn't just what we see. His plan is what He created in you before the foundation of the world. God's call on Doug's life is to be pastor. But then that will has to be surrendered to His will. When we find, even when we find God's call, we still have to continually surrender that with the right motive. That's the second thing, is the motive of our heart. Well, I'm going to be faithful because I know if I'll be faithful, they're going to promote me in the church. Or they're going to give me this job. And I know that God's going to do it. I've been faithful. I've been coming here for 25 years and I've got all the pins to prove it. And that's good. But what was the motivation? God looks at the motivation of the heart. And He's looking to see if yes, they're the ones that clean the church every week or whoever it may be. You know, whatever they're asked to do. But there's always that little complaint on the inside. I got to do that again. You know, you say, well, how do you know? None of your business. No, I mean, no, it's not that. It's just that we want to be faithful to the Lord. Oh, I'm doing this unto the Lord. And when we do it unto the Lord, we're going to be pleasing to those around us. You're going to be pleasing to your boss if you work unto the Lord. If you really work into Him and please Him, you're going to work hard. You know, you're not going to slack off. You're going to put your very best effort in. You know, and you're going to try to do the job as, you know, just like if you own the company. I got to get this done. You know, and I used to clean office buildings. Well, I got to get the job done. They want me to clean 13 floors. You know, they don't want me to be there till 7 a.m., you know, from 5 in the evening. They want me to get it done by 11 o'clock. And so I got to get that done. Now, I did talk to them and try to get them to pay me, you know, more salary type, you know. So I make more money because that's wise on my side. See, that works for both of us. I get the job done, you pay me, right? Well, anyway, I'm just kind of talking from my heart, I know. But we're doing that. This is the thing that we have. And as the disciples, Jesus, how he started the New Testament church is he had his disciples, didn't he? He took 12 people that God had said, he just said to them, come follow me. And what were in those two words exactly, I'm not sure. Sometimes we hear those words, follow me. You know, the Lord said that to me one day. He said, are you going to run after every good idea, or are you going to come follow me? And you say, well, what did he mean by that? I knew exactly what he meant by that. I had made a plan with a friend of mine, and that weekend, it was going to be like a Saturday and a Sunday, and we were going to make about $1,500 to $2,000 each. Sounds like a great idea to me. And it was a good idea. And I thought, you know, this was good. You know, I kind of prayed about it, but you know. And I went to a church on a Wednesday night. Praise the Lord. I mean, you know, sometimes you get under the anointing, it can help you. Even though I was praying, you know, been praying, seeking the Lord. And I thought, hey, it sounds good to me. I think we should do it. You know, it seemed good. It seemed like it was the right thing in my mind, you know. But the Lord said to me, he said, are you going to follow after every good idea, or are you going to come follow me? In other words, when are you going to stop trying to fix something yourself? Yes, you need the money. Yes, I know that. He knew it. He knew it. I've been confessing, Lord, I thank you. I'm coming out of debt. So I thought, man, this has got to be a good thing. This is a good thing. But every good thing is not God's thing. Every good idea is not God's idea. And so that's why we have to take time and listen. And I'm thankful for when he's that strong for me. I like to hear him strong. I do. I knew exactly what to do. So, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I ask you to forgive me. I just commit to not do that and to come follow you. You see, Saturday's my prayer day. You know, just one Saturday. But maybe that was the day I birthed something real important. Maybe somebody's life was changed. Maybe my life was changed, which I know it was, because I was there. I said, oh yeah, that's real important. I know, Lord, but you know, one Saturday, just one day. But it was important to him. It was important to me. It was more important than $1,500 or $2,000. And sometimes we don't think about eternal things. At least, you know, I know that I'm getting better all the time, but sometimes we don't think about the eternal things. Somebody's soul may have been at stake, and they didn't get saved. Maybe because we were out running after something that is on the lesser end of life. It's so good. It's good. We need to work. We need to make money. We need to do things, you know. But if God says no, then our job is to follow him. And sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it's a sacrifice. Sometimes, you know, because my emotions want to say, you know what, that will pay a lot toward some things that I owe, Lord. And I know you want me to pay all my debts, and I was paying them very faithfully. But it's not what he wanted. He said, well, I could have took. You can ask my wife. I prayed about it 3 or 4 times at least. And I would pray, and I'd sit in my easy chair, and I'd just kind of kick back, listen. You know, and I said, Lord, you know, I could get a better paying job. I know I can do something else. I could do this, you know. I make probably twice what I'm making, Lord. You know, and I would just pray. And I said, Lord, this just seems like it would be so much better. He said, no, I just want you to come follow me. I just want you to follow me. Stay right where you are. Don't move. Don't change. Okay. I don't understand how it's going to happen this way, Lord, but it did happen. Bless God. I'm debt free today and I've got a little money in the bank. Hallelujah. I'm not a millionaire yet, but if I was a millionaire, it's not mine. It belongs to Him. I'm just a steward. How about you? Amen. I'm not talking over the 10,000. I'm not talking about just, you know, over the 10%. You know, 90% is mine. You know, all of it belongs to Him. Everything I have belongs to the Lord. I told the Lord that. You know, when you get a vehicle and, oh, it belongs to the Lord. Well, yeah, but that guy can't ride with me. He stinks. Well, throw a towel over the seat and give him a ride. If the Lord's saying to you. I remember Pastor Dave talking about a lady he would pick up. He drove 45 minutes one way to go pick up this lady to take her to a miracle service every Friday night. And he'd carry her in, set her on the front row. And he did that faithfully until they asked him not to bring her back anymore. He said, I just wanted to see her heal. Hungry for the power of God. And sometimes we're not as hungry as we need to be. We get hungry for a while and then we slack off, see? We have to continue, as our prayer coordinator has told us over and over, push. We pray until something happens, until the result comes. We're not quitting. If that's 1 year, if it's 2 years, if it's 5 years, if it's 10 years, if it's 20 years, if it's 30 years, it could be longer. 40 years. Oh, 84 years for Anna. Yeah, that's right. She was in the temple. 84 years. You know, and there's also Simeon. He was there too. He was praying all the time. He said, the Lord has told me I would see a very old man come out and saw it. And he knew it was the Christ. He knew. He wasn't wondering. When we seek after God and we seek after Him and we pray in the Holy Ghost, we're not going to wonder God's plan or God's purpose. We're going to see it come to pass. We're going to know this is God's purpose. St. Thomas is coming into revival. The souls are being saved. People's lives are being changed. They're being filled with the Holy Ghost, healed and set free. I'm telling you, when you get somebody a miracle, you hand back a blind child one time, that whole family's been changed forever. You don't think they're going to tell the rest of their relatives? You don't think people are going to realize? He's going to go to the blind, you know, he was going to the, well, how come you're not bringing your son to the blind school? Oh, he got healed. Maybe the teacher's going to hear about it and bring all of them over. Hallelujah. Wouldn't it be nice if we've got 20 blind folks lined up here, and we know. And you're the one. It's your night. Got a blind section. You know, come on up. You're praying tonight. For whatever reason, we had you in charge of praying tonight, so you do it. Come on. You know, come up and they see your face. And I don't mean one. All of them. All of them. I remember Till Osborne was talking about that. He went to Puerto Rico. And, Cuba. Yeah, he was over in Cuba. And they had 14 deaf people that had come. And he said, I don't claim that I operate in the gifts. I teach them how to believe God, and they get it. And that's it. They just get it. And he says, I just tell them, call out to Jesus. He'll heal you. And he says, we just weren't having much success. I said, I don't understand it. So I hadn't had that before, so we went and talked to the Lord about it. What happened? What happened, Lord? What's going on? The next night, here they come again. But the next night, said I had the word, the mind of the Lord, the word of the Lord that helped me. Said, I see them. And he said, I shared with them what the Lord had told me, all of you. And every single one of them, 14 people, got totally deaf, hadn't heard before, totally cured, totally healed. And that's just one place. And he would talk about the miracles that took place overseas a lot of times. And he would downplay a lot of things that happened. He said that himself. And I mean, other people have said that about him. You know, he had some things where I'm talking, you know, his wife even went with him. You know, they've had snakes thrown at them, and they'll pick them up, turn into a rod, throw it back at them. Just like that. Some of the witch doctors. I mean, that's crazy, I know. But these are people that know God. When the Bible says in Daniel 11:32, and it says, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Now, why do you think they got corrupt by flatteries? They didn't know him. See, when we don't know him, when we really don't know God, our flesh can take hold, can get flatteries. It's happened to people. You know, they got up there. I mean, that's what exactly some of the great men of old. I mean, they kept telling them, you know, how great they are, and people around them, and at first they're saying no, no, no. But eventually the flatteries got a hold of them, and they got a stronghold within their mind thinking about it. Oh, I'm somebody. I'm Elijah to come. I'm the great one. Yes, I am. And, you know, and the next thing you know, they're not performing. God's not able to do the things that he wanted to do. He wasn't having great exploits at that time. Before that, it was great exploits, great exploits. But see, when we have the Holy Ghost, then he's already preparing us ahead of time, helping us to allow our character to change to the place where we are ready to receive those things, where he can deal with us about not being late. See, it goes back to that, because it seems like such a little thing. But you know, if you went to work every single day and you were late, they would talk to you. They would eventually, you know, say, hey, listen, this is a problem. We're going to write it down here on this paper, and you're going to sign it. I remember where we were, there were several people being late every day. I was usually there at 5:30. I started at 6. And I just like to get there early because I can sit in my car, kind of get my mind ready, pray a little bit, and, you know, be ready for the day. 6 o'clock, I'd get in, clock in. Start my day. That was a good job I had. But anyway, when I was working there, I got a job working 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. It was almost like getting off in the middle of the day. I said, wow, I get another job. Hallelujah. Or I got time with God. See, those are choices that we have to make. And I did. I had some good time there. But, you know, I remember one day that I did. I overslept, and I knew. I said, oh, man, I'm going to be a few minutes late. So I called the office. I said, I'll be a couple minutes behind. I said, it's just the way it is. I already knew. I got up, got dressed as quick as I could. I'm running up there. I'm like 3 or 4 minutes late. I wasn't much late, but a little bit. So they came down there, and because all these other people had been being late, they wrote me up for being late one time. I'd been late. Well, that was the only time I was ever late there. Praise the Lord. But, you know, sometimes one time can make a difference. You know, what if something that concerns my job that was very important happened right then? And I wasn't there. And it cost somebody's life. You know, when you're a security guard, it's important. You know, you may have been there just to stop that person or to see something that needed to be taken care of right now. And we think, well, it wasn't really that important, but our part's important, your part's important. See, I spent a lot of years working in the church. I've been working in the church since I was a child. I'm serious. You know, we would go down to the church, and it was our Sunday or our weekend to clean the church. It's the Zanstra family. Hallelujah. And so mom brought the family. It didn't say Thelma was going to clean the church. It said the Zaster family's cleaning the church. They give it out by family. And we'd get up and we'd get out there and vacuum and clean and sweep and do what they had asked according to the directions and find everything. And it was just our time. Maybe, you know, a couple hours, you know, not all day, but a couple hours that week. And it was our week to do it. And I started out cleaning the church. Praise the Lord. You know, I went to church when I was, I think my mother said I was 6 days old before I made it. I got there. Oh, yeah. So I started out in church early in my life. But we began to work, and we were known for that because, I mean, you know, and then we had our own company, our own business. My dad had his own business. We worked all the time. We were expected to work in our house. Everybody had a job to do. You know? I'm supposed to take care of the grass and take the trash out and make sure it's out in the incinerator and burned. You know, I mean, you know, you don't start out, you know, with the, you know, you don't start out being the cook, you know, when you're 4 or 5, but you might clear the table and bring the dishes over, you know, because that's your job. And it's just as important as everybody else's job. And we eat from the same table. Doesn't matter what you do. We've got the same Father. We've got the same blessing. We have the same authority. We have the same benefits. Well, you don't get healed because all you do is, you know, you just take out the trash. That's all you do. Well, that doesn't mean you don't get to receive and eat of the healing that's on God's table. Amen. I know when I worked in the field, I didn't do everything that everybody else did. You know, they drove the tractor, and I'm the one that shoveled and filled up the bucket, you know, and made sure that all the trash was picked up and get the wheelbarrow and dump it in the bucket. Because we'd have to rake large areas and get all the stones and everything. So we're getting ready to lay sod, and they'd be raking it all out, and there I was, you know, scooping it all into the bucket, taking it away. But I ate at my father's table. Just like my older brother who may be driving the tractor, doing something else, or overseeing something. So, I don't know why I'm getting into all that, but I'm trying to get us to get the vision. And to see that when we know God, that's one of our first things, is we got to know God. We've got to make that decision of surrendering our will. And we've decided here we're going to be people of prayer. And not just when we have prayer at the church. But what about your time with the Lord? You and Him. You know, the question is, what time are you going to pray tomorrow? So, well, I don't know. When I feel like it, it's probably not going to happen. But if you have a time and place, you know, say, well, I know I'm going to pray tomorrow. I'm going to be here tomorrow. I'll be here, you know, no later than 5 o'clock. I'll be probably 4 o'clock, but it could be 5. Sometimes I get up at 5. So. But I'll you know, after I get, well, I'll get up at 4 or so, but I'll be here by 5. And see me in the office. I'll be in my chair praying. So I know where I'm going to pray. Used to be, I would get up, and I knew every Saturday morning at 7 o'clock. Usually I would be there by 6 because I like to have everything ready. Get to the church, and I'd open up the church. That was my job. For a little over 2.5 years, every Saturday morning I was at the church praying. And sometimes, see, what happened was, is my boss had asked me, can you work Saturdays? And I told him, yeah, I can work Saturdays, sure. It's only from like 8 to 2, you know, or something like that. But they never had me work a Saturday. So I felt the Lord, I knew the Lord told me, He said, I want you to just start opening the church. And said, I was going down there anyway to pray for myself. He said, why don't you open it up to everybody? Anybody that wants to come can come down from, you know, till noon. And we kind of have to have somebody there because when you open it up, you don't know who all is going to be there. Sometimes we had other people, and we had one particular guy come a couple of times, and he just likes to get so loud it disturbs everyone. And we don't mind you getting loud, you know, but I just explained to him. I said, there's a fence right out here. There's a big field out here. You can go right out there. You can be as loud as you want. But you know, suddenly they don't want to be so loud, you know. Or if someone is being that loud, you know, there's another room. I said, there's a room right here. You're welcome to go in there. You know, pray as loud as you like. It's not that we didn't want people to pray loud, but when you pray so loud, it's disturbing other people. You know, it causes a distraction. That's not good. You know, so we're just asking you to pray where you can, you can pray loud enough to hear yourself, but not to disturb your neighbor. See, we don't think about that. Well, brother, I know the Holy Ghost. I didn't say the Holy Ghost isn't flowing through you. But the Bible says that love does no ill to his neighbor. See, sometimes we forget that walking in love is more important than what we think, how God may be manifesting through you, when you can easily walk to the other room. Or move, you know. Or, you know, so, you know, it's not that anybody's trying to stop anybody from praying or doing something. But there's order in the church. And God places us there. And he said everything should be done decently and in order. Now, I don't know why I got on all that, but it's important when we can see that. Because some of you may be helping with that. You know, there's going to be people come in, they think we need to do spiritual warfare. Well, it's all right. They might pray a couple hours, and pretty soon they'll be all wore out, and they'll quiet down just like you. You know? It's true. It's true. When I went to Ghana, boy, they like to pray loud. As a matter of fact, I was looking into possibly renting this car, you know, and when you rent a car in Ghana, he says, oh, you get a driver with the car. Oh, okay. So they drive the car for you. I said, really? Okay. You know, and I was just kind of talking with him mostly, trying to lead him to the Lord. And he said, oh, yeah. I said, well, you sound like your little horse this morning. I was praying last night. I prayed most of the night, and I just can't hardly talk today. But I know why, because they think, see what they're saying. Well, it's the violent. Take it by force. And we don't become violent with our flesh. We're becoming violent with our faith. We're becoming violent with the weapons of God. The weapons of God are not carnal, but they are mighty through God, and they will tear down that stronghold. You see, it's not about the volume of the voice. About the content of the prayer. And when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, and he's praying the very mind of God out for you and for others, that's a prayer that's going to be answered. Hallelujah. I didn't get very far tonight. But anyway, we're moving forward. It's still good. So Jesus, when he started the New Testament church, he got his disciples together, and he began to pour into the 12 that the Lord gave him. He prayed, and Peter, John, you know, and so he had his 12. Then he also had Peter, James, and John, didn't he? Those that were even closer to him. And then he had John, who was the beloved. You see, there was a progression. You know, and so God, I know, wants to pour into us and birth this revival. See? And all of us, we're learning. We're going to have, there's more things we got to learn. If we knew everything, Pastor Dave says that keep praying the mysteries, because if you knew everything, we'd already be in revival. There's some things that are still, you know, we may be very close, but there's something that we had not yet got the key, you know, or we hadn't used that key. And so sometimes, but see, it's line upon line. And if you're building the house, you've got the foundation. Maybe you got three walls up, but you don't have this other wall. You can't get that answer yet because it's up here on the roof. Okay? But those answers are coming. And we're going to see it happen. It's going to happen right here. Right in this house. Revival is here. Revival is now. Revival is in you. But if it's not in us, it's not going to be in the city. If we don't birth it, if we don't pray it through, if we're not willing to lay down our lives and say, Lord, is there anything left in me? Father, what in me are you not pleased with? What is it, Lord? Is there anything I need to change? I'm not talking about necessarily sin. But he may say, yes, I've got something I want you to set aside. And I'd like you to take those 45 minutes that you spend watching that program to pray. and to seek after me every single day. Just the thought. And sometimes we do get things from the Lord like that, and it may come, like you may think it's your own thought, but it's from Him. We need to pray about it. We need to think about it. Lord, I give that back to you. He'll bring it back again. He'll bring it back around. He's a good Father. His guidance grows. It gets stronger. And the more we pray, the more we're going to want to pray. The more we're going to know Him. He says, they that know their God shall do the exploits. If we don't know Him, we're not going to have exploits. It's just that simple. Now, yes, we know Him as far as we know Him. Every single one of us is somewhere. And if you're not there, it's okay. Because you can get there on purpose. Continue to pray. If you don't quit praying in the Holy Ghost on a continual, consistent basis, He'll take you there. He will take you to the perfect mind of the Father. You need to get with Him. Lord, how much time am I? You know, you should know in your own heart. Okay, Lord, I've got this hour. Or I've got, you know, this, maybe it's a half hour. I know a lady started out with 20 minutes. She says, God's been talking to me. He's called me. He wants me to do miracles. I mean, she was so excited. And she was just spending 20 minutes with the Lord. But faithful. See, faithful. And if we ask Him, He'll produce more time for you. And more time for you. But if we're unfaithful, then why should He change what you're doing? Why should your situation change? If you're not doing what you can do, then He can't change it to do more. See, in my life, I've had things change. I know why I wanted me to stay there. Insecurity. I didn't like security. I hated security from the very beginning. I never liked it. Now, there's some things I needed to learn. That's true. And it did help me in that. It helped me to understand some things. But mainly I was able to do a lot of praying. I can spend, you know, if I have a 12-hour shift, I could probably spend, you know, depending on when that shift was, I could spend 8 to 10 hours of that shift definitely praying. You say, well, it wasn't perfectly, you know, like it is now where I can separate myself and really listen and hear. But it was still time, see? Still time with Him. I knew a guy that trained himself. He worked on buses. Yeah, Lord, they put buses together, and he taught himself to pray all day long, just praying in the Holy Ghost, working that hard. But it takes some practice. It takes some practice. And sometimes we get out of practice, and we have to get ourselves back in practice. Amen. Amen. It's called dying to the flesh and deciding, yes, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to submit my will to you. And the greatest way, one of the greatest ways we do that is by praying in the Holy Ghost. When we continue to pray, we're praying out the very perfect mind of God over our life. And that is saying, this is what the Lord told me. I was praying and He said, son, when you're praying in tongues, you're giving your life to me. That's what He told me. He says, when you're praying in tongues, you're giving your life to me. And I didn't totally understand, but see, He was telling me what He said first is He said, I'm not interested in you just giving. Basically what He was saying, I'm not interested in you giving legalistic time to me. I want your whole life, not just the time you're praying, but He wants my life when I'm working. He wants my life when I'm fellowshipping with my wife. He wants my life, you know, when I have to take out the trash. He wants my life when I'm spending time with a boy that doesn't have a father or a child or your own child. He wants all of my life. And so those are the changes that He's going to make. It may be slight changes. It may be small changes. It may be, you know, a little bit at a time. But He's going to get you there if you'll continue to pray. You won't quit and you'll listen to Him. But see, we can listen to Him and not obey. The Bible says Jesus, He came and He was obedient even to the point of death. And our death is not the death on the cross. Our death is the death of the flesh. Because this body likes what it likes. You know, if you train it, it'll like the same things all the time. See, I like Brahms ice cream because my flesh was trained to eat Brahms ice cream. See, if you live in Tulsa or in Oklahoma, you like Brahms ice cream. Just like you like Shaw's ice cream, but see, I like Brahms ice cream. Now I'm changing, praise the Lord. But see, that part of my flesh has to die because I don't get to go to Brahms now. You know, there was a time in my wife and I's life, seriously, when we were thinking about that. Could we ever live anywhere where there was no Brahms? I mean, is that crazy or what? I mean, that was a long time ago, but I mean, that sounds crazy, I know, but we were getting our milk from Brahms, and we loved the milk there. We loved this and that. And I remember, I think we'd been married about 4.5 years, maybe, so it was a long time ago. We said, man, I don't know if we could ever live anywhere where there's no Brahms. I mean, such a small thing as that. But yet, you know, later on, it wasn't a big deal. You know, even though we lived around Brahms, we went there occasionally, but it wasn't the big thing. It's good. If you ever get to Tulsa or go to Oklahoma, go to Brahms. You know, or somewhere where they have that. I've got a mint, sorry. I was playing with my mint. I apologize. Anyway, glory to God. But our flesh can be trained and retrained. If we're not careful, if we let it go, it'll train itself right back to doing things of the flesh. Well, what do you mean? Like watching Netflix. Well, I don't think I'd ever do that. You know, well, maybe not, but if you got started, you might. You know, you get interested in some of the shows on there and they'll have 10 episodes on there. Well, I watched 5 last night and 5 the next night. I can't wait to get home to get to the next one. And I mean, those are good, not necessarily that they were bad shows or terrible things. They were good for the soul, good for the mind, maybe. Maybe it was even something you really, you know, it was very informative and really good. But it didn't strengthen your spirit. It didn't cause your spirit to rise up, see. And that's where we're going. It says, we'll be strong and do exploits. They that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. We're not going to be strong if we don't know Him. We're not going to see the exploits if we don't know Him. It's a decision that we have to decide. Yes, I'm going to not just be a follower of Jesus. I'm going to be a disciple. That's a disciplined follower. That's someone that says, yes, Lord, I want Your will for my life. Because I know that it's good. He can be trusted, I'm telling you. When you think you don't want it, and it's something that He has for you, He can be trusted. That He's not going to lead you down something that you just hate. Somebody says, well, I would hate if He called me to Africa. Just don't call me there, Lord. Call me anywhere. But then if He did call you to Africa, the desire in your heart would be so wonderful and so beautiful. And you would love it. You would have a great time. See, God didn't just call you and then make you miserable. Now, you can make yourself miserable in the will of God if you're not careful. You know, if you get your thinking wrong, and yeah, you're doing it, but He says, when we're willing and obedient. So, well, you may be being obedient in the will of God, but you're not willing. See, our heart has to become willing. I am talking a lot about motives tonight, aren't I? Hallelujah. You know, our willingness, Lord. And sometimes we're willing, but then we don't do it. Oh, yes, Lord, I'll do that, yes. And next week came, oh, I meant to do that. You know, and he'll wait on you a while. But you know, eventually you got to do something. I remember Brother Hagin talking about the guy that he had, you know, come to church, to his church occasionally. And come to find out he got sick. And he went down there to pray for him. And he says, here, I've come to pray for him. And the Lord spoke to him. He went and sit down next to him. He says, now, you know, he went to put his hand on him. Lord, don't put your hand on him. He said, well, why not, Lord? He's going to die. He's going to die. Why is he going to die, Lord? What do you mean? I mean, that don't make sense. You're the healer. You know, he said, I know that as much as anybody. He said, the Lord said, no, he's going to die. He said, he's been coming to your church on and off, and I've been waiting 35 years for him to get his heart right with me, and he's right now. And he's coming home. He said, no, you can place your hands on him. I fill him with the Holy Ghost, and his latter days be greater than his former. He hadn't even come to church long enough to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Said he heard it here and there, but he never could be faithful, never could be faithful to God, never could really get committed. It's not that the Lord didn't want to heal him, but he said he's not going to be. He said, I've been waiting on him 35 years. See, he does run out eventually. The Spirit of God will drive with you a long time, and he'll walk through hell with you, but eventually you're going to have to make that choice. Yes, I'm following you, Lord. I'm going to do what you say. If you want to reap the benefit of it. Now he laid hands on him, you know, and he got filled with the Holy Ghost. And he spent 3 days praying in other tongues and had a glorious homegoing. He says, well, you know, he didn't get healed. He said, was I discouraged? No, I wasn't discouraged. He said, I was thinking, my, thank you, Lord, for your grace. You know, but for the grace of God. Hallelujah. His mercy endures forever. It was the mercy of God. Was the grace of God. But sometime in our life, we're going to have to make a decision. We can put it off. We can wait. We can keep speaking it till tomorrow. I'll pray tomorrow or next week. Well, time's going by. And life ends eventually. After you go a few years, you know, and you get to be, you know, you think you're 30 and you're real old, you know. Some people think they're old, you know, you're 30. Then you hit 40. Oh my, you know. But it happens so fast. Before you know it, sister, you'll be 30. I'm serious. I know you know that. We know that. But the thing is, are we going to do something in that time frame? Are we going to do something with the time that we have? I say, well, I'm already over that time. I'm in my 70s, 60s or 70s maybe. Well, you're going to be 71 anyway. You may as well pray. Find out the mind of God. I know a lady that came to the conference. She was 92. And she's still alive. She'd called in. She started, I think she was 92 when she first came. And she'd been praying in tongues, trying to find the mind of the Lord, the purpose of God for her life. She didn't quit. It's not too late. It's not too late. God had a purpose. She even called the ministry. She asked for a special prayer. She says, well, I'm 92 and I got to do some fasting. I need some wisdom. I just got to find out how God wants me to do that. Would you guys pray for me? And we did. And she heard from the Lord. She said, well, the Lord showed me, you know, that I should just eat one meal, you know, in the evening. I could fast the rest of the day, but have that one meal. And then, you know, and she had it all set up and she would go down and drive her own car because she didn't have she had a computer, but she didn't have any internet access, so she couldn't get the messages. So she would go down to the library where a gentleman at the library taught her how to download the messages onto a little drive. Well, I can't do that. You can do it. It's not that hard. He taught her, and she's 92. And she drove from where she was, you know, down into the village, got her messages and take them back and listen to them. She'd do that every week. Every week she gets the new ones. She's been praying and seeking God. And God's using her. Being used in intercession. Being used by the Lord. You know, it's not too late. I think she's 94 now. She's still seeking the Lord. Still praying in other tongues. Just being faithful. How many know? God could do more with you in 5 minutes than you can in a lifetime. Amen. If we just gave our lives. You know, I think it's... D.L. Moody said, we have yet to be seen, you know, the person that's given their all to God, what God can do. I know Catherine Kuhlman said, she said, I've died 1,000 deaths, maybe more, you know. I died 1,000 deaths. You know, some of these people made some major mistakes in their life, but overcame because they were faithful to God. They decided, no. Yeah, maybe they made a mistake. I know that Catherine Coleman had got married at one time. It didn't work out. It was very, very, very hard for her. She says, one of the hardest decisions she's ever made. She said, I'm going with God. I'm going with God. You may be the Catherine Kuhlman we need. Could be. Oh, the Holy Ghost. She'd say, oh, you know, and I mean, she may look weird, but everybody got excited when they got their miracle. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I better wrap it up here. Glory to God. But I just want us to see. So tomorrow, when are you going to pray? Where are you going to pray? Are you going to pray? Are you going to become strong? They that know their God. And we know when we're praying in the Holy Ghost, we begin to know Him. And there's some things that will just happen because you prayed in the Holy Ghost. So I don't remember praying about that. I know, but it'll just happen. There'll be a certain direction that'll come just because you've been praying. And probably already has. I mean, you're here at this church. Praise the Lord. There's a reason you came, right? Did God send you or did you just come? And if you just came, find out if you're supposed to stay. And I'm not trying to get anybody to leave. I'm really not. I'm just saying. If he's not, you know, there's someplace else that he really does have you. We want to help you get there. Amen. We want you to follow him and know your God and watch you do exploits because it's going to happen. Glory to God. We're going to be strong and we're going to do exploits. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't we just lift our hands and just pray a little bit tonight. We commit our lives again to you. We belong to you, Jesus. We belong to you, Holy Spirit. Oh, draw us, oh Lord. Give us grace, Lord, each and every person to enter in, Lord, that we would be strong, Lord, and do exploits with you, that we would have your purpose and your plans and your ideas, Father, that we'll hear your heart, Father, and have your motives, Lord. That our hearts would be totally pure before you. That we'll have the character of God on the inside of us. That, Father, it's not that we couldn't do wrong, but there's nothing in us, Father, that wants to do that. Oh, Father, we want to be pleasing to you. We want our heart to be holy to you, Lord. That, Father, we wouldn't be bound by any false motive, Father, any wrong idea, Father, but we'll have your heart. We'll have your mind. We'll have your desires, Father, and that through each and every person in here, you'll be able to do exploits, Lord. Exploits for you. Now, Father, we are going to have revival. We are going to see that we are the servants of the living God. We have the heart of God and the life of God and the love of God. Flowing from each and every one, Father, in the glory of God shall so fill the house that we cannot stand to minister, for the glory shall come and stay. And many lives will be swept into the kingdom, Father, in these days. We thank you and we praise you for it. We give you glory. We give you honor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Grace as we go now in Jesus' name. Amen.